I'll roll.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
All board members are present.
Adoption of the agenda. Are there any changes or items to be pulled from the agenda?
There's one correction from staff. There's a correction memo at your place setting. It is for item 6 under discussion action, 6M. It's first reading and review of board policies. There are 8 board policies that have been received from the School Boards Association to be added for first reading to tonight's meeting. It's board policy 1312.1, board policy 40.33, board policy 5131.2, Board Policy 5145.3, Board Policy 5145.9, Board Policy 6020, Board Policy 6142.7, Board Policy 6145.2. These policies are being added for first reading in addition to those that are already on the agenda.
Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Thursday, January 23rd, 2020, with the addition of these items under 6M?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on the closed session items?
Yes. There are 4.
Okay.
But I need to find a translator. Is Bertha Tello?
Okay. Okay, please note that the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless otherwise extended or limited by the vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Dr. Mitchell? First one is Mr. Shay Lohman.
Thanks.
There you go. Good evening. The discussion that you are about to have behind those closed doors in a few moments is the most important that you've had while on this board. The decisions you reach will have long-lasting implications, and the choices you make will impact the role in La Fuente, Walnut communities. It will impact the students that we serve, it will impact the lives of the staff that work in this district, and it will impact you as an elected official, entrusted with leading this district. There are not many more opportunities for us to prevent a strike here in Roland, but tonight is one of them. On February 11th, the state-assigned mediator will be with our bargaining teams to assist in reaching a goal. Due to the laws around school board meetings, this will be one of the last opportunities tonight that the management team and you as a school board member have to alter our current path.
First, you need to increase the fixed amount of ongoing money that you are willing to spend. The approach that you have taken is simply unacceptable, as we have a reserve of over $54 million. In recent communications, you attempted to tout our recent salary increases, but failed to take into account that those salary increases came after years of no increases, and at a time the prices are increasing as well. These ongoing salary increases have barely kept up with the cost of living. And over the past 5 years, and in recent years, it's actually fallen behind. With the increased cost of health care and increased prices, we are not able to actualize real gains in purchasing power. As educators in Roland, we could look to our east at Walnut and realize gains of nearly $1,000 per month in our family health insurance packages. We can look to our west, the Hacienda La Puente, that just settled a contract of over 12% over the next 3 years. Roland Unified is in the same financial situation to afford these settlements as our neighbors. Steps need to be taken tonight to address this, or we will lose our members and more students to those neighboring districts. We are going to have employees flee for other reasons besides compensation as well. The board needs to direct management to pull back on the attack on our personal necessity leave and our right to bargain. We need the board's leadership in directing their team to look at real ways that they can meet our needs around having secondary class size caps and actual hard caps for our neediest special education students. In addition, this is a time when we must establish clear contract language around educators' rights with disruptive students. These are just a few steps that the board can take right now to get this process back on a path towards a fair settlement. ARE will remain focused on fighting for a contract that we know our students, our community, and our students deserve. Public opinion around community, public opinion and community support around educators, and specifically our efforts to bargain quality contracts, is at an all-time high. We are prepared and committed to take this effort for as long as it takes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lohman. Karen Villa.
Hi, good evening. My name is Karen Villa, and I'm a special education teacher, and I've been teaching at Nogales High School for 17 years. I've made lifelong friends, I've learned a lot, and I've gotten old with my noble brothers and sisters. My kids, my students, have helped me understand and learn too. I see abilities instead of disabilities. Recently, there was a crisis with a student that has shaken me to the core, leaving me feel unsafe, insecure, and helpless. I have the right to a safe workplace. Our kids deserve to have the right to a safe learning environment. They deserve an adult, a teacher in charge, who can manage the situation, keep them safe, help them stay in a positive mental place during a crisis. Out of respect for my district, my school, my principal, who is doing a wonderful job, my colleagues and my kids, I don't want to go into specifics. However, you are welcome to get in touch with me if you want to know more. I am happy to tell you and share my story. Respectfully, if you do call me and we talk to each other, you will understand why I am begging you to make safety your main priority. See, it only takes one kid with a cell phone posting something on social media to bring negative attention to our school district, our schools, and to erase all of the hard work everybody here is doing. Board policy BP5144, just like all of you, I want a safe and a supportive place to work that has a positive environment where my kids can learn and want to be every day. I want to help them to become better thinkers, problem solvers, and responsible citizens. After all, there is no special ed McDonald's, there is no special ed bank, and there is no special ed grocery store. They need to learn how to navigate through their world in a safe way. Our kids need to have self-discipline. They need to be held accountable for their own personal choices, good or poor behavior. I promise you, when I feel safe, I run an effective classroom. I embrace all of the new strategies I am asked to, and I offer interventions not only to my students, but to their families. For my kids, support our staff, support our fellow teachers. Please, I beg you, keep school safety your top priority. Let's make a commitment tonight to being proactive instead of reactive. I stand behind the board policy that you have. The bottom line is, if I feel unsafe, I cannot do a good job. Respectfully, you are welcome to get in touch with me if you want to know the specifics regarding this crisis. Thank you and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Dr. Mitchell?
1 second.
Could you have staff talk to Ms. Villa to see what specific suggestions she has that might prevent something like that in the future?
Yes.
Thank you. Amy?
You're being?
Good afternoon. My name is Amy Urbian, the Vice President of ARE. I would like to use this time to address the rumor that ARE has been vague in our proposals, and this alleged ambiguity has contributed to the fact that we are now at an impasse. While the association finds it laughable that anyone who has actually read our proposal could conclude that there is any ambiguity, we will nevertheless put that notion to rest right here, right now. The association seeks a compensation plan that attracts and retains the best staff available. Our next door neighbors in Hacienda just received a 12% raise over the next 3 years. This from a district who has almost an identical pay scale to us and a better health plan. Our neighbors in Walnut receive more than 200% of the health benefit our employees receive. In fact, part-time classified employees in Walnut earn the same benefits as full-time Roland employees. Do you really want employees to follow the lead of many community members and leave to our neighboring districts? Our neighbors seem to pay more than empty rhetoric to their employees. We've been warning you for years that your insistence on being lenient on discipline has created a teaching and learning environment that is unsafe. I've been an active member of our association for 8 years now, and I have never heard so many behavior and discipline issues in K through 8, and even more specific K through 3. Third grade, these last 3 years during my entire time here. After several attempts to rectify these issues through diplomatic channels, it has become painfully obvious that you have no interest in solving these problems unless it's a cost neutral and can be captured in a Twitter feed. For the sake of clarity, this is what we are asking for. We seek caps on secondary and special ed classes that currently do not exist. We seek support for our littlest students in our TK classes. We seek adequate supplies for the school year. We seek to protect the current language for personal necessity days. We seek to eliminate supervision duty and decrease the hours of adjunct duty. We seek a safe environment to educate our students, and we seek to protect our right to bargain. And we seek a compensation package that will keep the best educators here in RUSD. Shay or myself are always willing to sit down with you and help you comprehend what you seem to struggle with and finding the clarity of what we seek. We don't believe that the community will continue to support a district that sits on a $55 million reserve with all these needs remain unmet. If you think I am wrong, then let's find out for ourselves. As we celebrate the birthday of Dr. King this week, let us reflect on his words of wisdom to all. Justice delayed is justice denied. Thank you.
But we'll see how long she needs anyway. But we'll send it.
Bertha Tello.
Yeah, thank you.
Rebecca.
Good morning, everybody. Buenos días a todos. Yo soy la señora Berta Tello. Vengo de Los Ángeles, del este de Los Ángeles. Estuve 15 años.
¿Cómo se llama?
Berta Tello.
Her name is Berta.
In the mic, Rebecca, sorry.
Her name is Berta Tello. She comes from East Los Angeles.
Vengo de tantos problemas que hubo allá.
She comes from many problems that they had in East Los Angeles.
Y todo lo que tú... Y todo lo que pasaron nuestros hijos para poder llegar a un acuerdo.
And all of the problems that they had to solve to come to a realization.
Ahora estoy aquí y veo las mismas problemas un poquito más difícil, pero pienso que no puede ser difícil cuando ustedes nos puedan apoyar.
She's now here and she feels that we can resolve the problems and she feels that the board can support her.
Yo creo que alguien de aquí...
Okay, well, do you want to chime in? Come on in.
Yo creo que todos de ustedes, alguien ha de tener hijos. ¿Alguien de aquí?
You should all, I'm assuming that you all have children.
Se han dicho, no voy a poner esto escatimado en los gastos de sus hijos.
That we are not going to put these issues in being lenient with the way in which we spend our money.
La escuela es como su segunda casa. Necesitamos seguridad. Ellos dan ellos todo por nosotros. ¿Cuántos maestros han dado la vida por nuestros hijos?
I want to apologize. We're not actual translators, so we're going to do our best.
Me da un momentito.
Me emociono.
Sí, yo sé. Pero me da en pedacitos para poder traducir.
She indicated that school is a second home for their kids. They come in and they give their all.
¿Cuántos maestros han dado la vida por nuestros hijos?
How many teachers have given up a lot for their kids' lives?
A veces ellos los sábados van a trabajar y no importa, se levantan y van con entusiasmo. Los fines de semana siempre están con ellos ahí.
They give up Saturdays to come on in and work, and they're there 100% of the time for their kids.
The teachers.
The teachers.
En Navidad a mis hijos les han llegado a dar camisas útiles que salen del mismo maestro porque no hay dinero para poder solucionar ese problema a veces.
So teachers have given up monies, funds from their own pocket to help them clothe their children and support their children financially in any way they can.
Yo creo que ustedes tiéntense un poquito el corazón. No necesitamos irnos a huelga. No necesitamos perder tiempo para poder ustedes decir si se puede.
She's indicated that she thinks that we can resolve this without having to go to a strike if you really are interested in coming to a resolution.
Y me pongo las manos, el corazón, y espero que ustedes se pongan las manos en el corazón. Pero si tengo que luchar por la educación de mi hijo, lo voy a hacer. Aquí voy a estar.
So she puts her hand over her heart, and she hopes that you do the same. She hopes she doesn't have to, but if she needs to fight for the educational rights of her kids, she will.
Y gracias por tomar su tiempo, por escucharme.
And she wants to thank you for taking time to listen to her. And again, I apologize if it wasn't the most accurate of translations.
Yes, we apologize.
David?
Mr. Malkin, just so that there's no concerns from any of the staff that are here tonight, I want to make sure that they're comfortable with the translation that we received. If not, then I think that somebody maybe should come and clarify that, because I don't want anyone leaving here saying that we didn't translate properly or hear what she said properly.
Sure.
Somebody was raising their hand in the back over here.
Well, we can do... Oh, yeah.
There seemed to be one part in particular, yeah.
Bueno, yo soy vengo de Los Ángeles, por 15 años estuve allá, de la Escuela Mariana, aquí he estado de voluntaria, y quiero que sepan que hubo marchas, hubo muchas protestas, estaba lloviendo y allí estábamos, había escuela charter, yo peleé por la escuela charter que no hubiera, ha habido muchos problemas del este de Los Ángeles, y les vuelvo a decir, queremos, yo como padre presidenta, me gustaría que en realidad no llegáramos a todo lo que tuvo que haber allá. Thank okay. you.
So, she came from East LA from the school, la escuela?
Mariana.
Y she was there 15 years. And I know I'm code switching in the middle of it, sorry. And she said that she was there during the strikes there, and she was a volunteer there. And so she's seen that side of it. She doesn't want to see it here. Right? Does that sound good? Okay, thank you. Oh, thank you.
If you have a comment, if you can come up, because we need to get it recorded.
Okay.
No, I just want. Yeah, I just want to have it recorded, though.
Actually, I got one more thing. Maybe. Oh, she's gonna come and talk.
Hi, Jessica Peterson, Spanish teacher at Roland High School. Some of you, hi. Yes, she was also talking about how she was involved in the Parent Association over there in East Los Angeles, and she was also talking about how she stood tall. She was connected with the teachers. As was mentioned before, she has a direct connection with her teachers because when her teachers met the needs of her children in the school, supplying things out of their own paycheck, showing up on Saturdays, not getting paid. She feels this direct connection with the teachers. She came here to Roland Unified because she wanted to leave those problems behind. and she really, really wants to avoid those problems that was stated before. She's going to put her hand on her heart. She hopes that you put your hands on your heart and that we can resolve this.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
¿Y algo más?
Sí. Quiero decirles que yo vengo de acá porque me dijeron que aquí eran clases más pequeñas, que había más dinero, que era mejor ambiente, y tengo un año, y digo, Dios mío, vamos a empezar otra vez.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
She said she came here for the smaller class sizes and better environment. She doesn't want to start with the problems again.
Okay, thank you.
Last. Can you ask her to put in the writing in two versions, English version and Spanish version? Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay, Mr. Humphrey?
Okay, don't forget me. I got a little late. I thought you guys were, I didn't know all these guys were going to be here. Okay, on the closed session, because it has to do with the contract, so for that you're negotiating and all that. And the big thing is, and Mr. Lohman here has put this thing out on the buzz and so forth, and what we want for the real people on the side saying, this is some real facts and figures, come out and say, oh, we want class, what are the class sizes? So we want specifics. And it'd be a nice thing if the board would come forth with such things so that ordinary people can get a grip on this thing. And what, 12%, what's 12% of what? You know what I'm saying here? So, again, and also for Shay, waving to the people there. And I saw Deputy Denver out there, and he says everybody's behaving themselves, so everything's cool. But I didn't get any pizza. Okay? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you all for coming out. And we're going to recess the closed session at 4:23. Thank you again.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Ms. Finn.
Good evening, everybody. We return from closed session to open session at 6:05. All in attendance will be led to the Pledge of Allegiance by the flag by the Roland Elementary School student Daisy Razzo and Mia Morales.
And then Mr. Martinez asks you to please rise and remove your hats.
Yeah.
Excellent. You got it, girls. Go for it.
Just leave them your hats.
Get to step up real close to that microphone. You want me to move it towards you?
Please remove hats.
There you go.
Okay. Face the flag.
Put your right hand over your heart.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. There is no closed session report for tonight. Next, we are going to move to the board recognitions. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Perfect. Thank you very much. If we could have the board members come and step into the dais. And I believe we have Miriam Kim is going to do our first presentation.
Good evening, Board President Malkin, board members, and Superintendent Dr. Mitchell. Most of you know the Tam family, and if they're out there, if we can make our way over here, Tam family. So again, most of you know the Tam family as one of our super supportive families in our district. They are parents at Blandford Elementary. Tonight, they are here to recognize some students in a different capacity in regards to Stop for Aiden. Stop for Aiden is a nonprofit organization that brings attention to and advocates for pedestrian safety. Aiden Tam, their oldest son, was a Blandford Elementary student, intelligent and full of energy. In May of 2014, Aiden was tragically hit by a driver who did not have the patience to wait for pedestrians to cross in the crosswalk. To honor the memory of this amazing young child, the Tam family established the Stop for Aiden organization. The Tam family has been active in bringing pedestrian awareness to the greater Southern California community. This year marks the first ever Stop for Aiden poster contest. Students in grades 4 through 6 were asked to create a poster depicting safety for all pedestrians. The Tam family is proud to acknowledge the winners for the 2019-2020 school year. In fourth grade from Shellen Elementary is Bella Wu. From Oswalt for fifth grade, their submission, Kian Aquino. And the sixth grade overall winner, also from Oswald. I'm not sure if they came in maybe before me. I didn't see them. Maybe they're in the back. Gloria Xiong, if you're here, please come on up. Congratulations. If any of the parents, if you want to take pictures, you can.
All right, the next recognition we have is for Roland Water District, and it's I'm very pleased to share the partnership we have with Roland Water. We have Brittany Vandekar that's here representing Roland Water, who has graciously been working with our school district over winter break. They installed two drinking fountain and water bottle fillers, one at Blandford and one at Roland Elementary, and they've made a commitment to continue that progress through all of the schools in our district that Roland Water serves. So we wanted to recognize them for that, and the kids love it. I was at Blandford yesterday. The kids are loving the new drinking fountain. So Brittany, if you could come up and accept that award. Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. Come on and have a good one. All right, and next we have the Walnut Valley Rotary Club. And Walnut Valley Rotary Club is a huge support for our students and our community as a whole. We have four Rotarians that are here to join us to accept this recognition. Rotary every year does holiday baskets, and they have provided 200 holiday baskets to our families in need. It's a full holiday meal, as well as Christmas for kids. And they have worked with Roland Elementary School, and Santa's there, and they provide gifts for the kids and so forth. Really, really go above and beyond to extend holiday cheer to the families and students in our district. So we have Raj and Al and Eileen and Jane. Would you please come forward?
That's always the best part of the meeting tonight, is we do recognitions. On behalf of the board, I'd like to recognize and thank the Roland Elementary School students, parents, staff, and community members for providing the refreshments to tonight's board meeting. Roland Elementary School Principal, Mr. Martinez, along with students and teachers, will provide a brief report highlighting their school. Mr. Martinez?
I felt like I was at my house and my kids weren't listening. So it's my extreme privilege to be the principal at Roland Elementary School. Tonight we have students in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade going to be presenting Kid Booms, which is a way to highlight some of the programs at our school. Their teachers, Mrs. Guzman and Mrs. Duran, are going to share a little bit about what Kid Booms are, and then we'll bring up the kids. So without further ado, here is Mrs. Duran.
Thank you. Hello. We know that teachers have the gift of gab, but today the spotlight belongs to our students. They are the ones who are doing the work, and we are here today to celebrate that. Roland Elementary strives continuously towards student ownership. In addition, we value providing fair opportunities to our students. Equity needs to be the forefront of our classrooms, our schools, our district, our educational system. At Roland Elementary, students are taking ownership of their educational journey. Every student has the opportunity to share their voice publicly. And today, we are here to honor our 4th through 6th grade students representing our school. You will hear their perspective, their voice on what great things are happening at Roland Elementary.
Thank you. So in 2018, Joanne and I were beyond grateful to have the support of this district and Roland Elementary to attend CMC South. It was there that we were introduced to Ann Cosmo from Flipgrid and her Kid Boom presentation. We were beyond inspired by the idea of students telling their story using this platform. This has inspired Joanne and I to go on and present at various conferences on student writing and STEM. Today, students from Roland Elementary get to share how powerful their voices are. It's an awesome opportunity to learn from these scholars and cheer them on. So when you see a slide that says boom, like that, you're going to say boom. So let's practice it. Are you ready? Boom. Oh. All right, here we go.
Good afternoon. My name is Daisy.
And my name is Mia. We are sixth graders and
we are Rascals. Follow us on Twitter at Rascal Pride.
Follow our student newscast on YouTube at Rascal Entertainment. We are going to talk about special programs at Roland Elementary, like Reader's Workshop, Writer's Workshop, Start With Hello, Rascal Entertainment, oof, that's a lot.
Family Learning Night, Innovation Challenges, Winter Show, PBIS, and Robotics. Wow, I'm so excited that I go to a school that has so much to offer.
Me too. Enjoy the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Carolyn, and I'm in fifth grade, and I'm doing Reader's Workshop. In Reader's Workshop, we talk about a document or whatever we're about to read. We take notes in our reading notebook, and we also use sticky notes. This helps us keep track of what we read or what we wonder about while reading. We share with our partner and with the teachers and the whole class. I love Reader's Workshop because I like to read every day and be alone and share ideas with other people. Reading is calming because every story has a different meaning, and I had to think deeply. Some stories will teach you a lesson. Some will say never give up. Every story impacts a reader differently. That's why reading is special.
Hi, my name is Jesus Hiron, and I'm in sixth grade. I'm going to tell you about Writer's Workshop. Writer's Workshop helps us grow as writers and readers. Writing takes time because we have to draft, edit, and polish our writings. We live our stories. For example, the solar cup. We read about renewable energy. We wrote about renewable energy. We also made boats that ran on renewable energy. The teachers take time with each student individually, so we could be the best writers we can. Thank you, teachers.
Hello, I'm Alan Hernandez. I'm in fifth grade. I'm here with my friend Jacob Molina, who's also in fifth grade.
Hello.
Say hello is talking to someone who's alone. Just say hello. We started the school year saying hello to parents.
After that, we talk to people we didn't usually talk to and made new friends. We invited people to play we didn't usually play with. We started conversations with people who were alone.
After that happened, I saw everybody with a friend. Now, I don't see anyone alone anymore.
If you can, turn to the person next to you and say hello. It is that easy just to make a friend.
Hello, my name is Mia. I am in the sixth grade. A group of Rascal representatives created Rascal Entertainment, our school newscast. We use green screens in many of our videos. We even interview students and guests. I have to use my reading, writing, and speaking skills. I have to use them because we write scripts. Like that. Read confidently and be on camera. That's me on camera. At first, I was nervous, but seeing all the videos I have done made me realize I am a great speaker. Our newest episode comes out on Monday, January 27. Be sure to watch our YouTube channel at Rascal Entertainment. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Brian, and I'm here with Harris.
We are both in the sixth grade performing the Family Learning Night
Family Learning Night is a night where teachers, families, and kids come to school together and do STEAM challenges.
Some of the STEAM challenges are robotics. Robotics is something you can program using a computer.
Another thing is Math Talks. Math Talks is when kids gather around the floor or stay in the table and do math problems and also communicate with their peers.
Also, we have crafts. Crafts is something you could do in your free time using different types of resources.
One special thing kids might like is augmented reality with 3D coloring. That's when kids color a drawing, scan with the tablet, and whatever they drew comes to life.
Lastly on our list is innovation challenge. For example, there's one that we did in class building a straw bridge using only straws to build a bridge.
Even though school ends at 2:30, it is so cool that we could still learn in the night.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Boom. I can't get it to go. Come on, girl. There we go.
Hi, my name is Justin Maida. I'm in the sixth grade, and I'm going to be telling you a little about innovation challenges. Innovation challenges is about individually working as a team, and we collaborate and reflect and learn from our mistakes. Also, we learn from real-world issues and problems. The mini solar boat challenge and the cardboard challenge are great examples. And also at Roland Elementary, we always use an engineering mindset. So when's the last time you used an engineering mindset?
Hello, my name is Carolyn. Hello, my name is Carolyn. Winter Show is where a wave of students to show their love of music. Parents are invited to attend the show. So last year we had one show, but now this year we had two shows because there were so many parents who wanted to see their kids at the Winter Show.
Hello, my name is Copernicus, and we build EV3 with parts of Legos, and then we program it to do cool things like sumo wrestling, corn maze, and racing.
And my name is Anthony, and robotics can teach us how to work together and get better at building and coding.
My favorite part is when we did the corn maze because we had to think, and then we make it code it to make it move.
My favorite part was to make it go forward because it's so difficult. In conclusion, robotics can make you better at building and coding.
Hello, my name is Daisy, and this is the PBIS slide. PBIS is very important to our school because it shows how we are supposed to act in school and in public. Teachers recognize students by giving them pride tickets, just like these. Then every Friday, we raffle a pride ticket. In effect, every day students try to get a pride ticket because it's an honor to get a ticket. Students mostly get a pride ticket because they are showing pride in our school. In all classes, we have a pride behavior expectations. And these are very important because it tells us what pride means to our school. Our rascals are going to tell you exactly what pride means to us. Go.
Go. Yes, do that. Go back one. Ready? Thank you. We're almost done.
Our rascals are going to tell you what pride means to us. Give me a P!
Problem solver!
Give me an R.
Respect and responsibility.
Give me an I.
Integrity.
Give me a D.
Determination.
Give me an E.
Empathy.
What does that spell?
Pride.
What does that spell?
Pride.
What does that spell?
Pride. Boom. Boom.
Perfect. If we can have all the Roland Elementary staff that's in the audience, as well as those that presented, come forward and for a photo with the students.
Yeah. Good job. Thank you.
there.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Thank you. You know, presentations like that aren't possible without dedicated teachers to come here tonight and without the family and the parents supporting their students. So a big thank you to the parents and the teachers that attended tonight with the students. We give them another big boom. Thank you very much. You know, they say you should never follow an act by children, so I'm glad I don't have to. So, Dr. Mitchell,
thank you.
Would you like to give your report?
Yes, thank you very much. Actually, I'm not going to follow it either. I'm going to ask Dr. Zamora to come forward. So, will you do your LCAP presentation, your staff presentation at this time, please? Oh, my goodness. I didn't want to follow. Yes, but I didn't want to follow the students. I was going to have Maddie do it. Fine, okay.
You can't get out of it that easy.
I can't. Darn it. I was going to try. Sorry, Maddie. I called you too soon. I apologize. So in looking at what's coming up with the this Saturday, we have our showcase. It starts at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it is at the Roland Heights Community Center, where all of our schools and programs will be highlighted. I want to thank Gina Ward for all of your work in organizing it. We're looking forward to a very exciting day, and I do invite all of the board and the community to come forward. Roland Elementary just said we got a sneak peek of part of what they will be presenting as well. We also have on January 31st is the grand opening of our Roland Unified School District Performing Arts Center located on the campus of Roland High School. So we have sent out lots of invitations to the community as well as to all of our schools. There is a website if you're interested in attending. You can ask if there are still tickets available. We do anticipate that that is an event that will sell out, but we do really appreciate our community's support in being able to fund state-of-the-art facilities. So we wanted to thank that. And we will be, because we do anticipate that all of the seats will be filled, we will be live streaming it so that our community is able to see it as well if they're not able to be there in person. And then we have our showcase, which I mentioned first, kicks off our enrollment. So we will begin enrollment for the 2020-2021 school year on Monday, January 27th. So we have school tours that are scheduled for Tuesday the 28th. So any community member who's interested in seeing all of the great programs happening in our schools, each of our schools have tours at 8:30 and 10:30 on their campuses. So should anyone have any questions, there's information on our website, and we are also willing to answer questions at the end of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we go to the student reports, and we'll start with Santana High School. And that would be Santana High School ASB members Pablo Olivares and David Coogan will provide a report.
Good evening, board members and Dr. Mitchell. My name is Pablo Olivares.
My name is David Coogan.
And how are you doing this evening?
Pick the mic up just a little. Speak right into it.
How are you guys doing this evening?
Good, thank you. Boom.
For this new year, we would like to catch you up on catch you up on what we have been doing at Santana.
Last December, Mrs. Lin's class won the homeroom semester competition and elected to enjoy Chick-fil-A as their lunch reward.
Students have been working hard to recover credits, and some of our Santana students have earned enough credits to go back to their home schools for the second semester. We wish them well.
For this new semester, ASB is hosting a donut eating contest. Students will be asked to eat a donut from a string while holding their hands behind their back.
This semester, each homeroom competition will come with its own reward, pizza, donut, and ice cream parties. The winning homeroom will get to choose.
For the upcoming month, we plan to sell bears, mugs, and balloons, just as this one. For Valentine's Day, we hope to spread a little love around the Santana campus while fundraising for our school.
Santana is getting ready for our WASC, Western Association of Schools and Colleges visit, which will take place in the month of March.
We are getting ready to show the WASC visitors what the students and teachers are doing, how we are growing academically and socially, and basically showing them what a great school we have.
While being at Santana, I found it to be a fun learning environment where I can talk to my teachers and have a respectful relationship with them.
I have been able to recover my credits with the help of my teachers. I'm looking forward to graduating in June.
Thank you all for your support for Santana. Have a nice evening.
Thank you, Pablo. Thank you, David. That's not easy for them to come up here and talk and to speak to an audience like this. And next one would be Nogales High School. It's Brianna Lopez and senior class president. Will provide a report.
Good evening, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, members of the board, and members of the audience. My name is Brianna Lopez, and I am the senior class president, and I am here today to represent Nogales High School. In the past months, we have been having a great time at the best high school of America. We began our second semester strong with a lot of hope for our last months of this school year to go by fast and fun. Our basketball team so far seems to be taking the league title, and we could not be any prouder. Our girls and boys soccer teams are going above and beyond, while our girls water polo is taking the lead on other teams. Our ASB is working on Clash of the Classes, which is our night rally, and we are continuing to strengthen the family we have built within. We welcomed Mr. Carlo Marquez as our new assistant principal, and we are all excited to say hi to him when we see him around campus. We are barely getting our feet wet into the last months of the class of 2020, but we are all so excited to finish strong. This is a brief report from the best high school of America, and it is the best at NHS. Thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. The next report will be for John A. Rowland High School. It'll be Lee Yang, Rowland High School, ASB Speaker of the House.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Lei Yang, and I am the Speaker of the House for Rowland High School. Since the last meeting, Rowland has been on winter break. However, our students have remained active in the community. Throughout the break, our winter sports practiced diligently and competed in multiple league and tournament games. Tomorrow, Friday the 24th, Rowland will have their annual winter sports rally and Renaissance theme revealing. This will give the winter sports the chance to promote the end of their season and also compete in a friendly game afterwards. Tomorrow night, Comedy Sports will be hosting their January match at 7 p.m. in A4. This Saturday, the 25th, Rowland will be hosting a heart screening through the Saving Hearts Foundation, where people from the ages of 12 to 24 years old will be able to be tested for any heart problems in the gym for free. Signups are through the Rowland High School website, where consent forms and information are provided. Also, this Saturday, various groups will be performing or participating at the Rowland Unified School District Showcase at the Community Center. The next senior event for January will be this coming Monday, the 27th. The theme is Jam in January, where McChickens and iced tea will be served to all seniors wearing their senior attire. Seniors will also be voting on the Faculty Honor Guard for graduation. Starting Tuesday, January 28th, there will be different senior nights for sports teams and ASB. Wrestling senior night will be Tuesday the 28th, ASB's and girls soccer senior night will be next Wednesday the 29th, and the boys and girls basketball senior night will be next Friday the 31st. January 30th, Rowland will be hosting their annual open house called Ready, Set, Rowland from 6 to 8 p.m. It will take place in the gym. It is open to everyone in the community and is an opportunity for them to see what Roland High School is all about. Students and staff from a variety of clubs and academic programs, as well as our athletic department, will all be present to show off how amazing our school is. Several of our performing arts programs will be performing to start the night off. We welcome the district personnel to attend this great evening. January 31st, the spring dance theme will be revealed at lunch. The spring dance will be held on Saturday, February 29th on campus. Our Renaissance Assembly will be Friday, February 21st, which is designed to recognize our students for their academic excellence for the first semester. At this assembly, students who received a 2.5 GPA or higher with no D's or F's, or who have improved their GPA by 0.5 from last year, are eligible to attend. Students will receive a free shirt and attend the assembly, where over 150 students will be recognized for various academic achievements, as well as be entertained by class dances and a teacher act. On February 3rd, ASB applications are going out for the 2020 to 2021 school year. This means that the student leaders on campus are going to be running for positions, one being my own. I can assure you that each candidate will try to make the future year better than the last and will always want to improve the school with their new ideas. Our annual dodgeball tournament will take place the first week of February. Here are 16 teams of 10 can battle off in the gym at lunch to see who is the best. The winner of the tournament will receive a prize and hopefully a game against the teachers. On Tuesday, February 11th, we will be having our Senior Responsibility Assembly, where we go over all the important information for the remainder of the year, including graduation, grad night, and prom. Several of our academic programs began a busy season of competition. Skills USA, Auto, FCCLA, FBLA, ProStar, and Science Olympiad have been busy studying and or building to prepare for the upcoming competitions. In all, Roland students are continuously showing off their ability of being thinkers, communicators, and contributors to be a better writer every day. Thank you.
Okay, next we will receive a staff report on the 2020-2021 Local Control Accountability Plan. I will now turn the meeting over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
And now it's time for Dr. Zamora. So I'm sorry about that. But we are entering in now after the first of the year into working on our LCAP. And Dr. Zamora and her staff have prepared a brief presentation just to alert the board and our community of upcoming dates.
Thank you. Tonight, as we do every year, we're going to be providing the board an overview of our revision process here in Roland Unified. So it's the revision process of our Local Control and Accountability Plan, also known as our LCAP. So why the LCAP? The LCAP is a plan that reflects a district's programmatic and budgetary priorities. It includes a framework around the 8 state priorities, and it provides a plan and a process that ensures that we have stakeholder input and that provides accountability for our and addresses the needs of our students here in our district. Here you see the 8 state priorities. They're the same 8 state priorities that we must address every year. Sorry, it's not working. So our process, what steps do we take? We want to make sure that our stakeholders are part of this process, and we begin this reflection on our achievements and also how we revise the next year's plan through the feedback that we gather from students, teachers, parents, and community. Then we reflect on the annual report, and we update our plan for the following school year, in this case, 2021. Here you can see how we engage our students 5th through 12th grade in focus groups where we survey them and we get their thoughts on what they believe will improve their experience here in Roland Unified. We also survey the community. We survey staff. We have input from community meetings that include our DLAC, our Superintendent Advisory Committee, and also advisory committees at our sites. The annual report has to include our reflection on what has been accomplished, What is the impact of our actions? What should be continued, expanded upon, or deleted, and why? We must include the why in each one of these categories. And we also must include how the needs of our students, our current needs, will be addressed in the future plan. The local control accountability plan must also include the academic indicators, progress towards English proficiency, our graduation rate, college and career readiness, suspension rate, chronic absenteeism, and local indicators. All of these have to be addressed in the plan. We also align that with our Roland Unified goals, which are here you see them, academic achievement for all students, college and career readiness, communication and collaboration, fiscal responsibility, student and staff safety and wellness, as well as leadership development. We wanted to provide the board with a timeline of our process, and we begin that process today. Tonight, we give an overview of the process and timeline, and we will be giving the board an update, a full comprehensive update of our achievements and our plans for the following school year on April 30th. We begin also to gather community input through these meetings that will begin on February 20th. And we do offer different meetings so that our community can attend them. We will also be meeting with our DLAC, have open community meetings open to the public. On the next page, you see the student survey window and where we will be holding those focus groups. We also meet with our associations and collaborate with them so that they can give us input on what they believe will help us provide a stronger and more effective plan. The community survey will also be open from March 9th through March 27th. So that our stakeholders have another opportunity to give us their input. We have an LCAP council that will be meeting and will be working with us to review our plan. So this also includes how we update a plan that has to be a three-year plan. And the final plan, the draft of the final plan for 1920 will be brought to, I'm sorry, for, I think that's a typo, 2021 will be brought to the board on May 28th, and the final draft for board approval will be presented on June 10th. Okay. Any questions? We have been very successful with this process, and so we will continue to do this process as we engage our community.
Any questions?
Yeah. All right, just a clarification on the community parent input. I just want to make sure that it's clear that the meetings that will be held at Roland High School and at Nogales High School are open to anybody. It doesn't matter if you live by Nogales or by Roland, you can attend either meeting.
Yes.
I would also like to ask, has there been any consideration given to a presentation at the Roland Heights Community Coordinating Council?
That's something we can consider. They are part of the community.
So we have not scheduled that. We can certainly, if that's an interest and direction of the board, we can certainly reach out and see. It would take their meeting, but we can ask.
Or maybe a condensed version even, or just...
So we can certainly go out as part of the board report that shares at Roland Heights. We can certainly say, here's the meeting dates, which we have done. These are the meeting dates. This is what LCAP is. Just a paragraph instead of an essay. Yeah, we can do that, sure.
Any other questions?
Okay. I just have a question. You always use those two schools, the Roland Elementary and Roramore for elementary. Is it possible to switch schools for the survey? Did you use them last year?
Did we?
No, for the list of schools, for the survey, which is really great. I really like the idea of the survey. But it says that when you have their focus groups, it's for Roland Elementary and Roramore.
Okay, so then that would be... we have focus group meetings with all of our schools on the same day we split up. Are we doing it differently?
Oh, okay, that's what I wanted to find out. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you.
For a community survey?
Yeah.
Well, we have some community meetings.
And answer the questions online, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think some parents or the community members, they don't use computer that much. And I think it's better if we use the paper form too, and have the teachers distribute them to the parents, so we can get a lot more response from the community. And for those parents or those community members, they don't go online as often, mm-hmm. and we can get.
I believe that's something we can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we do have print copies available. All of our schools have print copies available, should somebody prefer it's in multiple languages. And then also our community liaisons mm-hmm. have them available to share with families as well.
Teachers, I think if teachers help distribute them to the parents, that's like, it's just like homework. And every parent will get a paper. And
so parents have shared their preferences electronic. I mean, they've shared that they would prefer. And then remember, too, is gathering all that data back. And so if we, it's stored electronically, so then we would input everything by hand if it's not done electronically.
Yeah, we increase a lot of the workload for us to analyze the data
yes.
on paper. I know that.
Yes, yeah.
Right. Okay, thank you.
But if there is anyone who shares an interest in having paper copies, we absolutely have them available. And we do distribute and collect paper copies. So we do both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Zamora. The next section is public comments. We have three people that have filled out the blue cards to speak. I just want to make it clear that later on in the agenda, we're going to have the section on the California Voting Rights Act, CVRA. And if you wanted to speak on that, this would be the time you'd do it, would be during the public comments. So if you have any comments you'd like to make about the CVRA, let us know. We have several interpreters here that can help you if you feel better speaking in a language other than English, and they'll introduce themselves.
Mi nombre es Gloria Basulto. Buenas noches. Nomás estamos aquí por si alguien ocupa traducción durante la sección de comentario público. Estamos disponibles. Tenemos aparatos para traducción simultánea.
안녕하세요. 한국 통역사 셀린데요. 도움 필요하시면은 말씀해 주시면 감사하겠습니다.
Claire Huang. 我今天会为你们，如果有人需要用中文翻译，我会为您服务。谢谢。
Okay, thank you very much. We'll proceed with the cards that we have and. If there's anybody else out there who wants to speak on the CVRA subject, you can fill out a card while these three speakers are speaking. The first speaker will be Mr. Marco Maldonado. Oh, that's right. I do have a brief paragraph I have to read first. The public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by the vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items, excuse me, or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Hey, Mr. Maldonado.
Oh.
Retrieve his notes.
Okay. Mr. Roy Humphreys?
First of all, thank you for all the good things you do. And as we note that Plato says the price of apathy towards public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. And Martin Luther King most recently did celebrate his birthday, so forth, or his event of Martin Luther King Day, stated, "I have a dream that we will be judged by the content of our character." And it has been shown that the content of your character is wanting. If I had done just a minimum of what Shay Loman and the teacher had done on the 11-14 meeting, that you would have had me arrested, thrown in jail, and barred from this district forever. The content of your character. Yes, deception and contempt for the constituent and the rule of law would have gone unabated. I thank God every day that he guided me to skim the pile of newspapers I was about to toss out and found the article about attorney Carlos Perez and the California Voting Rights Act. But for that, and Superintendent Mitchell's refusal to agendize this issue, this would never have been brought forth, and the law would have been thwarted forever. And to Ms. Pride, we're out to help you again as far as the North and the South goes. I noted in my research during a campaign that, guess what? Nogales High School had at one time, had in 1 year, had five interim principals, and the consideration of being assigned to Nogales High School was that of being a penal colony assignment. And the also, we noted in 1990s that there was a court action to for Walnut to secede from this district, as well as Mr. Harrison wanted to do the same thing. And also that the north side there is the home of the no toilets syndrome. And the unceremonious departure of the principal most recently, Nogales High School principal Youssef, brings something in an uneasy questioning of why. And again, it goes to the content of one's character. And last but not least, I must thank my wife, Cindy. She's sitting right back here, who has put up with 3 years of my recording these sessions and the stress that has gone along with it. And she said, you know, those people are just waiting to take you out. They want to destroy you. And I said, but that's the content of their character. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. Astrid Campos.
All right. Well, good evening and Happy New Year to the board and to the superintendent. My name is Astrid Campos, and I am a labor rep here for the classified workers at Roland Unified. I'm here today to remind the board and the district that public education and labor unions have an innate connection with one goal: to make sure public education is a success. Unions work hard and invest our members' money to make sure we pass legislation and propositions that further and fund California's public education. CSEA's mission is to improve the lives of our workers, students, and community, and I think so does Roland Unified have the same goal. With all that being said, we are not improving the lives of our workers, students, or communities when we are not fully funding the education of our students of today. The law says that every school should have a reserve of 5%, school districts. And while I am not here to make the case that we should have that we should lower our reserve, I am here to point out that the 27% reserve that is some of the highest in the area. When your reserve continues to grow, that tells me that we are not spending on the student of today. Our student of today needs consistent and dedicated educators. Your district has chosen to prioritize reserves over students and workers. We see that, in fact, that Roland can never fill, we know that a fact is Roland can never fill all the paraeducator vacancies. Why? Well, you would rather hire two 3.45-hour employees than one 6-hour employee, because then you don't have to provide them with health care benefits nor a pension. We know that the most
Vulnerable students need constant and dedicated instructional assistance. And the district instead chooses to save their money instead of our students. At Roland, we also don't work to improve the lives of our workers, when out of the 750 CSEA workers at Roland, only 395 of them are eligible for benefits. That means only 52% of classified employees have benefited positions. Wow, that is shameful. And out of the 395, 265 have single health plans. 70 are two-party and 60 are family. Why do you think our two-party and family plans are so low? Because we don't have enough, we don't have employees with families? No, that's not the case. Our district's health care cap is $11,000. Families and two parties can't afford health coverage. When our two parties are paying about $300 to $500 a month, how much do you think families pay? Over $1,000. CSEA is here to ask the board to do the right thing and invest in the future of our students of today and the workers of today. Please direct the superintendent and the district's negotiations team to come back to the table on February 5th and negotiate a permanent increase to the health care cap, a fair wage increase, and to make the 109 temporary extended instructional assistants permanent for our paras. Put our students and workers first. Thanks.
And Marco, Mr. Maldonado, did you get your notes? Okay.
Good evening, Board President Malcolm, members of the board, and district administration. Happy New Year to you all. I hope you all had a relaxing time off. Now that we're back, though, it's time that we get back to work. As president of CSEA Chapter 133, I stand in solidarity with my sisters and brothers in ARE. Our struggle for a fair salary and benefits increase has been the same as theirs. Last month, you heard from many of my members regarding working conditions and hours. For many of them, it was their first time ever standing here before you and speaking about their experience working in our district. Those concerns range from members seeking proper training for an active shooter incident to a mother and member struggling to understand why there isn't a health assistant on staff the entire time her son is at school. But the vast majority of my members that spoke to you last month came from the ranks of our instructional assistant class. They work with our most vulnerable student population. It was clear to me, and hopefully to you as well, that this is an area that we desperately need to improve upon. The road before us may be long, but I stand here before you, ready for that journey. It is my sincere hope that we can come together and begin to tackle the complex concerns they brought before you last month. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Maldonado. That concludes our public comment section. We now move to discussion action items on the agenda. The 2018-2019 annual financial audit report. Can I have a motion and a second to accept the financial report as submitted by Nigro and Nigro PC?
I'll move.
I'll second.
We have a motion to move to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried.
No, oops.
That's right. I will now turn it over to Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. And Mr. Flores, I believe we have a representative from Nigro and Nigro that's here. Would you like to do the introductions and for a presentation to share with the board?
Yes. If Mr. Peter Glenn could come up and share, take any questions, and actually just provide an overview of the audit.
Certainly. Good evening. Members of the board, cabinet, Superintendent Mitchell and President Malkin, it's my pleasure to be before you to present the 18-19 financial audit report. I'll go over it really briefly. You've already accepted it, so I could scoot. No, I'm just kidding. Just teasing. Okay. So, just real briefly, the scope of the audit, usually we come out every year in about the month of February, and we do some of our compliance testing, our site visits with attendance and with ASBs. Then we move on to our spring season, if you will, and we deal with some of the compliance issues before we come back, and we wrap everything up usually in October and November. And then the report is required to be issued actually in December to the state controller and the CDE, and also to the County Office of Education. So that all happened. And also the audit, because it has federal funds, is also submitted to the federal clearinghouse. So that also has already occurred. And that, as per education code, of course, then it has to be presented in a public forum here to you in January, or before the end of January. So just to go over some things, there are certain requirements that the audit is operated under. The district needs to make sure that the financial statements are presented in accordance with GAAP, or generally accepted accounting principles. So sometimes it's not the most easiest thing to read, the audit report, but be assured that that's typically because that's the way that it needs to be presented to be in accordance with GAAP. And then on the audit side, we are required to follow several guidelines, governmental auditing standards, generally accepted auditing standards, the K-12 state audit guide. So you'll notice in your report there's a section on the state requirements and the different things that we look at. And then, of course, the uniform guidance, where we're required to test 1 to 2 programs based on how large they are, and we test that particular program. So in all of that testing, we're happy to note that there were no findings that were in connection with any of the state requirements or any of the federal requirements. We did have some recommendations that we put at the end of the report under the management comments, and I'll be happy to answer any questions about those at the end of the report. As you look at the report, there's a couple of really useful tables, I think, if you want a real high level. And those can be found on pages 6 and 7, and that's tables A1, A2, and A3. Of course, I find all the tables useful, but it really gives you a perspective of how the district is doing from a full accrual or government-wide perspective versus the fund financial perspective. And so that's at the bottom of page 7. The fund financials are all shown there by fund. And it shows how they are, you know, what the fund balance is, the ending fund balance is for each fund there. There are, just kind of flipping through the report from, you know, front to back, there are some sections that are known as required supplementary information. There's a separate tab for that. And that is information that's required under GASB. So they require that we put that your budget is reported in there, and your pensions and your OPEB is reported in there. And then there's a supplementary section, and that supplementary section is required by the state. So that K-12 state audit guide that I was talking about earlier, that has a requirement of reporting things like average daily attendance, instructional minutes, your trends over your last 3 years. So you can see how from 2017 through 2019, some of the things have changed, and that's a really high-level perspective. So you've got some amounts in there that are really just in, you know, aggregate, if you will, not really broken down into a lot of detail, but it gives you a good perspective. It shows you how your available reserves, where they're sitting at. For example, in 2017, it was 4.6%. And then for 2019, your available reserves are 3.7%. So that's still over the 3% recommendation by the state. As I mentioned, then there were a couple of reports that go into the audit standards, the state, and the uniform guidance. Those are letters that are required to be included in the report, and those basically would list out any findings or any internal control problems that we might have found. And as I had mentioned before, we did not identify any, but it would be proper for me to talk about the scope of the audit, and that the audit is really designed to provide reasonable assurance. So it doesn't find every single small detail. It looks for material items. And of course, when it comes to compliance is pretty detailed. But as far as the financial amounts, those are, you know, we're looking for material deviations or material misstatements. So that way you can look at the report and have confidence moving forward that, you know, the those amounts are fairly stated, and that you can move forward from a budgetary perspective and all that. And then, as I mentioned, the very end of the report is saved for management comments, And those typically will focus on ASB. This year, Roland High School was the site that was visited. And so, as is pretty common, there were some recommendations on how to improve things when it comes to things like disbursements and cash collections and things of that nature. So I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
I have one question.
Sure.
Maybe two. Where in this does it break down the reserves, the restricted and unrestricted?
Okay. There are, in the notes, if you look at note number 4, there is a section on fund balances.
What page?
Sorry, that's on page 36. I'm getting a little choked up here. I'm sorry. Sorry. So on note 4, page 36, it's on your bottom left. Now I'm choking on the water. The general fund is shown on the left, and then there's your major funds, and then there's your non-major funds. So if you look in your general fund, you've got different categories that are broken out there. And again, this is a GASB requirement that these different categories be used. So there's a non-spendable, a restricted, a committed section, an assigned, and then an unassigned section. So the non-spendable, those are things like, you know, inventories or prepaid, so they're assets, but they're not really in a tangible necessarily form. Restricted, that's your categorical programs, so that's things like your Title I, your ESSA programs. Your assigned are actually things that are assigned by the district. I skipped over committed. So committed is something that the board actually says, okay, we're going to use this for this specific purpose. So that's why you can see that in the non-major column there. The board has committed deferred maintenance program, so that's why that's there. And assigned is slightly less than a committed in the sense that it can be designated by the district for those specific purposes. So they're setting that up for those specific purposes, and they're assigning those dollars there. And then the unassigned is basically that's your reserve for your, uncertainties.
Thanks for pointing that out. I looked on another page, and it just had the total, and I missed this chart. The other question is, did you and your team specifically do our audit?
I was the partner on
that. You were the partner? When you send us communication, is it unusual for you not to put the name of the partner that did the exam? Because it just says the company name.
That's pretty standard. I think in our communication to the board at the beginning of the audit, it will have the partner's name on it. So when we send out our beginning communication, like the one we'll send next month, it will actually have my name on there. But as far as the audit itself, it's the firm name. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Any of the board members have a question?
Yeah. Okay. We have a charter school, which is the IQ Academy, and you have one page for that charter school, but the little blank, and it said the financial statement not included.
Right.
I believe they do have their own audit, and do you audit them, or how does it work? Are they obligated to report their financial statement to us, or how does it work?
Yeah, so they have
a page there, but they leave a blank.
Right, so they have a separate audit. The district approved of that particular charter school, mm-hmm. which is why we have it here, because if you at the state level, it shows that you are, that you approve their charter with the state. So, but their financial statements are not part of your financial statements. So we have to put them in here and report them, but we don't include their financial statements in your district financials. Mm-hmm. Does that answer it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Mr. Flores, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes. First, I want to thank you for making a presentation, and I'm very happy that this is the second year that there's no audit findings from this independent auditor, and it only can happen with the fine work of a lot of staff members, and I want to recognize Aubrey Craig, Rosanna McLeod. There's a lot of different work that takes place And even to our school sites, the principals and our secretaries bringing things in so that our invoices are can be tracked. There's a checks and balances when it deals with public funds. And this individual makes sure that we do it comply and we do it correctly. And it's a team effort. I want to thank everyone involved in it.
Any other questions? We will now take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any oppose? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, we'll go to the next discussion item, which is 6B, which is the California Voting Rights Act, CVRA, the board discussion of boundaries for trustee areas. This item is to receive for discussion and potential action the five remaining. We had seven originally, and we have five that are remaining. Draft trustee areas or maps that have been proposed to the board and by the public Cooperative Strategies, LLC. Are there any questions or discussion regarding those five maps that still remain?
We do have a presentation as well to share with the board.
Okay.
Good evening, members of the board, and I'll start with an apology that I didn't add a boom slide in between any of my slides. I know that might have spiced it up a little bit for you in response to last month's, but I will try to do my best on my own without that. Just a little bit of a recap of where we've been and where we still have yet to go through this process. Held two pre-map public hearings back in October. The maps were released, held what will have been two public hearings on the map scenarios in November, December. Tonight's final meeting to consider the scenarios and change in election method before submitting this to the County Committee on School District Organization to complete the process. They look like they will hold their meeting sometime in sometime between February and April. It's kind of a time frame there to work with them on getting that done. But sometime between February and April to have final approval from the County Committee and have the State Board of Education in March. So as soon as the County Committee is done with this, this all will get submitted to the County Registrar of Voters for implementation in November's election. So in addition to the board meetings that we highlighted on the calendar, just want to remind everybody of the additional community meetings that were held from the pre-map to the post-map stage that occurred in outside these board meetings to give the public a chance to provide their input, feedback, and learn more about the process. So those happened all across the district throughout this process. Recap on the considerations in drawing the trustee areas that were adopted by the board. Roughly equal in terms of population. That's a requirement under the law to have a 10% variant, no more than a 10% variance between largest and smallest areas. Compliance with the Federal Voting Rights Act, that they've got be contiguous and as compact as possible, respecting communities of interest, consider jurisdictional boundaries, that schools should be represented by more than one trustee to the extent possible, and that we should avoid, if possible, pairing two board members, and you'll see maps that do and don't do that when that was the lowest on the list as the board went through this process. All right, district demographics. This is all familiar information, 108,603 residents as of the 2010 census, which got couple weeks away. We'll be updating those numbers in time for the 2021 release of that data. But you can see total population, again, 108,603 people, largest group being the Latino population at 44.4%, followed by the Asian population at 43.28%, looking at population 18 and over next to that. And then we also take a look at citizen voting age population. So on citizen voting age population, the largest group is the Asian population at just under 46% and the Latino population at 38%, just under 38%. Map on the right showing the concentration of Latino citizen voting age population. Darker the orange color, the higher the concentration of Latino citizen voting age population. And you'll see that as we look at the maps and the increased influence areas we're able to create for members of the Latino community and the Asian community, which are the two largest protected classes within the school district. You can see the Asian citizen voting age population concentration map on this slide now. All right, so that's some of the baseline information we've walked through in the past. Just a recap on the scenarios of the five remaining scenarios. This is scenario one in all the scenarios, the color coding is the same. Area 1 is yellow, area 2 is green, 3 is red, 4 is blue, 5 is purple. So you can see area 1 starting in the north, coming down to Amar, Nogales, and then to Valley, kind of that upside down and backwards L shape that we have there in the top. Area 2 in green, coming to the west of that. Area 3 straddling both sides of the 60 freeway with parts of West Covina coming down into Roland and the City of Industry in between. Area 4 in blue on the eastern side, covering both sides of the 60, but mostly south of the 60 in the Roland area. And then Area 5 being the southern part of the district going entirely east to west there. What we're able to create in these areas, in addition to the population variance being less than 10% in all the scenarios that we're sharing with you, because we wouldn't want to share anything that wasn't complying with the law, we do have areas of increased influence for the two largest protected class groups within the school district. And protected classes, we use that term a lot, and that's a Federal Voting Rights Act term for historic language, race, or ethnic minority groups. But we see areas 2 and 3 where the Latino population represents a majority of the citizen voting age population, and areas 1, 4, and 5 where the Asian population represents a majority. So we have 2 Latino majority areas and 3 Asian majority areas providing enhanced representation for members of protected classes in the election process. Scenario 2 is similar to Scenario 1. There's just some shifting around that occurs. You'll see Area 1 comes south of Amar for that little curved triangle up at in the northern west part of the district. In exchange, Area 4, the blue area, comes north, coming north of Valley. Instead of where Valley was the dividing line there, it comes north of Valley, just sort of north of Telesis Academy. Area 2 comes a little bit across Azusa Avenue to take in additional property and population there. Area 3 comes farther south into what had been Area 5. And then Area 5 kind of pinches Area 4 from both directions to get additional population to balance it out. But in terms of demographics, we see similar features. Areas 2 and 3, where we have 56 and 54% Latino citizen voting age population. And areas 1, 4, and 5, and I know in this wall of numbers it gets a little hard to see, but areas 1, 4, and 5 where we have increased Asian citizen voting age population, making them majority areas for those two groups. Okay, scenario 3, some further tweaks from scenario 2. Area 1 is actually the same between the two scenarios. Area 2 shifts over to the east. You'll see that there, staying north of Valley. Area 3 then comes in and takes up more space on the western edge. It doesn't come as far south, so that's some of the differences there. You see it pretty much stays north of Colima. It just has to come south of Colima a little bit to grab population there. Area 4 staying north of Pathfinder, just to the west of Roland High School. And then Area 5 being the remainder of the district from Telesis Academy all the way down to south of Pathfinder there. I'm sorry, I skipped a slide there. Population-wise, very similar to 1 and 2 in terms of 2 increased areas, majority areas for the Latino population in Areas 2 and 3, and the same for the Asian population in Areas 1, 4, and 5 at over 50% there. Scenario 4 is the scenario that was provided by the council to the parties filing the demand letter, and it was modified slightly, as we talked about at the last meeting, to ensure that the population balance occurred. It was a very small change just right at the corner of Nogales and Amar, just to move population into Area 5 to make sure we were under that 10% threshold under the 2010 census. But you can see we just reversed the color order here, so Area 1 is in the south and Area 5 is in the north. But that gives you a sense of the layout. Some similarities to some of the other scenarios that you've seen in terms of some of the lines, obviously some differences as well. What it does result in is, there we go, Area 3 being the only area where we have a Latino majority on citizen voting age population, and then Area 4 where we have a plurality, meaning it's the largest group but not a majority Latino citizen voting age population. And then we still have three areas of Asian citizen voting age population majority. So where the other first three scenarios do feature two majority Latino areas, this one only has one majority and one plurality area. And then finally, Scenario 7, which looks completely different probably than all the other maps, is another option for you to consider. Area 1 comes a little bit more to the south, doesn't use Nogales as the dividing line there. Area 2, we had to shift over to the east and farther south there to make that one balance out in terms of population. Area 3, similarly to the other scenarios, we're kind of hugs the western boundary of the district. Area 4, along the more southern western portion of the district, and then Area 5, taking up the rest of the southern part of the district. Demographics-wise, same as scenarios 1, 2, and 3 in terms of two majority Latino areas and three majority Asian citizen voting age population areas. So it produces the same result as the other three scenarios that we created that are under consideration. I know that was another quick and dry jog through the maps, but if there's any questions, we'll certainly try to answer those.
Are there any questions you'd like to ask the demographer?
Okay, I'm a statement that I'm sick of maps.
Okay, now we have five maps to consider. Can we have discussion on these five maps on how we want to narrow it down? Or does anybody have a motion to narrow it down?
I would like to make a motion that we eliminate some additional maps. We eliminated some at a previous meeting, and I would like to make a motion that we eliminate map 1. It really doesn't follow our natural boundaries. And for the majority, each trustee area, as you know, do not have local schools in the trustee area where they serve or represent, which would make a big difference.
Are there any other maps that people would like to discuss for possible elimination?
There's a motion on the floor right now for map 1. You want to expand that or take a vote on map 1?
I have others if nobody else wants to speak up.
I will then.
You already started a motion.
Okay.
So you need to continue. We can vote on your motion or you can expand your motion.
Okay, then I'll expand my motion to also eliminate map 2 and map 4. Map number 2 is the reason I suggest we eliminate that one is due to the larger population variance, because on that one is 6.51%.
And 4 as well.
And it doesn't have... you need a second on the first one?
Well, I'll second.
She's still making the motion.
No.
So there's a motion on the floor for elimination of map 1, 2, and 4.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I hadn't said 4 yet.
She hasn't said 4.
No, map 1 and 2. There's a motion on the floor for 1 and 2. Okay.
Because number 4 is actually on my list, too.
Okay.
I'd also like to see us eliminate map number 4. Because this map has a 7.52% population variance, and it's under the 10%, but after the 2020 census, that could go up and throw everything completely off. And it also only creates only one Latino majority trustee area.
Okay, so we have a motion to eliminate map 1, 2, and 4.
Right.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a second. Now we have it open for discussion for the rest of the board members.
I think she discussed it. I was looking at mainly the variants, the population variants, that it followed as many of the natural boundaries as possible. And I think these three are weakest in those areas.
Mm-hmm. And map number two, I agree with Angelina. And because it does not have a community schools, that trustee area represents within the trustee area.
And I agree with Angelina also that I think these three maps aren't the best because of the reasons she said.
Yeah, I would like to add also that I agree with what Mr. Chen just said and what Ms. Price said, that we still represent all the students in the district, mm-hmm. Regardless of what area or map that we pick. But it would be nice that if the people that are electing us to represent all the students are ones that are in our area that we're representing. Mm-hmm. And so the other two maps afford that a lot much more than these three maps. So I have a first and a second. Any more discussion? Okay, this would be a motion and a vote to eliminate map one, map two, and map four. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, so maps one, two, and four will be eliminated. Okay, and that leaves us with two maps, three and seven. Let's take a look at three and seven. And I'll need a motion on that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Three and seven?
You're right. Okay, I'm a little behind on here. Okay, the next agenda item then would be a resolution, number SO192011, to establish trustee areas. And can I have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution SO192011 to establish trustee areas with a specific map? So it has to be either three or seven.
I'll move that we adopt resolution map number three because I believe that it's overall scenario three best fits the needs of Roland Unified School District. And given the overall demographics of the school district, scenario three presents an equitable division of the school district into five trustee areas. There's a balance at least in one elementary school located in each trustee area. And scenario three has a low population variance of 5.44%. And for my trustee area, Shelland Elementary, Roland High School would be that area. And so future board members that would live in my area would be able to have their children represent that area for voting. And also for yours, Roland Elementary, where you are, David. So I think that would be the best map for Roland because it will represent where people are living to, even though it's going to be the whole district that we're representing, but at least, you know, like when they campaign, they're at that area where their children are going to be going to that school.
Okay, before we have further discussion by the other board members, can I have a second for that?
I thought it was seconded. Mm-mm. I'll second.
Okay. Ms. Evan-Kan seconds it. So it's open now for discussion for the rest of the board members to adopt map number three as the final map.
Is it discussion?
Yes, discussion.
The only problem with it is we are going to be with one district that we need to have one elected school board member in 2020. And I just pray, because I know that we were trying to do this plan for 2022,
right.
But we're doing it now. And I just hope we can get interested in some of these communities because we have to get good school board members who will consider our whole district. If we don't get board members, it will be tough going. So hopefully we will. But I think this is the best choice for our district.
Any other further discussion?
I look at map number three because we have Major Street Valley, Colima, Pathfinder,
they consider this as the boundaries. So I think that's the way should be, and as a positive for the map number 3.
Any other discussion? Now, I agree with what Ms. Ebbenkamp was saying, that we need good school board members. We do a food pantry every month in the Hurley, Northern Villa Corte area. And there's a lot of people out there that are homeless that we provide food to every month. And to run for school board is very expensive. So I just hope that some attorneys out there will come up with a way of helping to finance some of these people that would be excellent school board members if they had the resources. If they can't buy food, they can't pay the fee. I know when I went down to run, it was $1,000 per statement.
If you submit a statement, but if you don't submit a statement,
then you have nothing on the ballot saying what you want or don't want. Mm. So I just hope that eventually there'll be some help out there for anybody to level the playing field so anybody can run that wants to run. So is any more discussion?
With that said, with what Mr. Malkin just said, I have to agree that I still have concerns about doing this before the census data comes out because we might experience changes. And I have to say that I still resent the fact that individuals think that just because we're not by district that people wouldn't come out and run, especially minority groups. I lived in Roland Heights at the time. I didn't live in West Covina at the time. So I think that it's wrong to automatically assume that just because we're going by districts that we're necessarily going to get a minority out of a certain district, because I can tell you from the north side in La Puente, there's black people who live there. There's white people who live there. So just because we have a district that's made, that's predominantly Hispanic by the numbers does not guarantee that a Hispanic person is going to come out and run. Just like here in Roland Heights, when I ran, it didn't guarantee that a black person wasn't going to come out and run. And I'm the first black school board member on this board. So I still kind of resent that people think that, some people just want to get involved and some people just don't want to get involved. Or maybe they don't know how. We need to just do a better job at educating them. But, we have to do it because the law, but it is still very frustrating that we had to waste so much time and money on this, especially when the community doesn't even seem to want it.
Any further discussion? Okay, we have a first and a second to adopt number 3 for resolution number SO192011 to establish trustee areas. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The resolution is carried and the motion carries. Next item is item 6D on the agenda, school accountability report cards, or abbreviated SARC. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the school accountability report cards for all schools in the Roland Unified School District as required by Every Student Succeeds Act?
Sorry, I jumped the gun. I'll move. I'll second.
Yeah, we have a first and a second. Are there any questions or discussions? The only thing I just want to note that when I was reviewing it, it's an excellent summary of each school, statistically looking. But there was one area, which is teacher salaries, which was being figured the wrong way. And those have been corrected now. So if you have an old report, you might want an updated one that will have the updated salaries on there for the teachers. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Change in employees' business mileage reimbursement rate. Can I have a motion and a second to approve a change in the standard business mileage reimbursement from the current rate of 58 cents per mile to the new federal rate of 57.5 cents.
Do we have to?
Per mile, effective January 1, 2020. Oh. So can I have a motion
to
cut your mileage?
Second.
We have a first and a second. Any questions or discussions?
It's a law, so we really don't have a choice on this one.
You're right. Is this what Ms. Pride was saying earlier? Sometimes we just don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Your mileage has not been cut. Okay, item 6F, amend conflict of interest codes for Roland Unified School District. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed amendments to conflict of interest codes for the Roland Unified School District?
I move.
I'll second.
Have a first and a second. Any questions? Discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. 6G, governance handbook. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the revised governance handbook?
I'll move.
I second.
Boy, that sounds enthusiastic.
I'm really excited.
Can we get a bam or something? I don't know.
Boom.
Boom.
Is there any questions or discussions?
Just one quick note. Again, I would like to thank board members Ebenkamp and board member Friedman for their hard work on that governance handbook. You guys did a fantastic job. So thank you for all the time and effort that you put into doing that. I think it's definitely beneficial for all of us.
We did the original one, but this one, it was pretty good because we didn't have to update
to
much.
A change, but yeah, but still the work that you guys did on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments, suggestions? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Approve the school calendars for 2021, 21-22, and 22-23 school years. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the calendars for the next three school years?
I'll move.
Second.
All those in favor? Oh, any discussion?
Just a comment on this one. I want to thank CSEA, ARE, and our district cabinet and staff for working so hard to get those calendars done and that we got 3 years done. Mr. Bixler, thank you. But I'm glad that everybody worked together and agreed and that it was it's done. And for 3 years, that's amazing. Thank you so much for all your hard work and the contributions that everybody made as a team working together.
We had a great calendar committee.
Yeah. Well, good job. Tell them I said good job. The board said good job.
Ditto that.
I do have a question now. I think about it. This is for 3 years. Does the negotiations have to conform to the calendar, or can the calendar be changed to conform to future negotiations within those 3 years?
The contract.
The instructional calendar is not predicated on the contract negotiations. They're separate.
So for like the holidays for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and things like that?
Those are all part of the contracts. Uh-huh. And so in each of the contracts, there's particular holidays that are listed. And so we conform with that.
Okay.
They're all legal holidays. And then there's some local holidays in there as well.
But I was referring to more to the period of time that's off, 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
You know. No, that's subject to the calendar committee and board approval.
Okay. Okay, any other questions, discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? Motion carries for the calendars. Resolution SO 1927, Career Technical Education Month, February 2020. Can I have a motion and a second to proclaim February 2020 as Career and Technical Education Month?
I make a motion.
Second.
Any discussion?
Me. I'm a big proponent of career and technical education, and I have it on good authority that Mount SAC may be able to even offer some career and technical education courses to some of our students during the summer. I hope that we can make that happen because I'm excited that we have these programs to offer to our students, especially in light of the closure of our local ROP.
Any other questions or discussions? I just want to agree with you. I was thinking the same thing, that it's kind of a flashback I had for ROP when I read this, that there's so many jobs out there that we need filled, And there's like a shortage of electricians out there now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of technical career jobs out there that we need filled. And yet we only think one way only, and that's the college route. And we really need this.
And community members are very interested in our technical education, too, and careers. Right.
Are we doing anything special this month?
So we can reach out to the schools and see if they have something in particular that's planned. I know that there are some recognitions that are being done, but I don't have the details.
Okay.
I would agree with what Mr. Chen's saying, that, you know, we have all these college programs at the schools where they come and speak. It'd be nice to have some individuals that work in these fields to come and talk to the students to show them that there's options out there.
If we could do that. I know the Avid program does that.
Does it?
They do, yeah. And then I think some of the other career pathway programs that we have, they have speakers who come out and talk as well. But I couldn't say how much off the top of my head.
Maybe eventually Mount SAC could come out and talk to our students.
Excellent idea.
I happen to know somebody.
I know somebody over there.
Yeah, I need to find somebody who has it in there.
Some of the careers they have available.
Okay. Can I have all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. We have another resolution, SO 1920-08, Black History Month, February 2020. Can I have a motion to proclaim February as Black History Month for 2020?
I'll move.
Second.
Discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries.
For clarification in the notes, who first did that item?
Donna.
Thank you. 6K, resolution SO 1920-09, National School Counseling Week, February 5th through the 9th, 2020. Can I have a motion to declare February 5th through the 9th, 2020 as National School Counseling Week?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Discussion? Comments? I'd like to add one other thing on that. And that's the discussion that we had earlier, about counselors at all levels in Roland. And the availability in elementary school as well as junior high and, or intermediate and high school.
I know you looked at me waiting for me to say something. Yeah, counselors are very, everybody's important, but they're there helping the kids, which is nice.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the last resolution is resolution SO 1920-10, National Parent Teachers Association, PTA, Founders Day, February 17th, 2020. Can I have a motion to, a second to proclaim February 17th, 2020 as National Parent Teachers Association, PTA Founders Day?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
Just to say thank you to all of our parents who volunteer for our PTAs and PTOs. Is it PTOs, right? PTAs and PTOs.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people who talk about our district or say something, things about our district, have no clue because they don't volunteer in these types of capacities. And being involved in PTA and PTO is just an experience that really helps you to learn not just the school, but the other parents and, more importantly, the students. So I'm just thankful for the PTAs and the PTOs in our district.
Any other questions, comments? You know, I was on the PTA liaison, and, I want to second what you just said. And a lot of people don't realize the amount of money that they raise. A lot of the signage that's at the different schools, the marquees, were paid for by PTAs. And that's not a cheap purchase. So they do things for the school as well for the students, providing clothing and food and things like this. And a wonderful group, and I would encourage everybody to support their activities, such as Quarter Mania.
Yeah.
We got the big winner down there. And to support these activities, because it supports the students is what it does. So.
And the best thing about those parents is when they see a problem or a concern, they address it with the school sites or,
you know, through their appropriate channels, and they take action, you know, to really be involved. They don't just sit back and whine and throw mud and, you know, cause problems. They actually take action to make right. things better for our students and staff.
And feel free to join any PTA. It's not expensive.
For me, one of the best things that PTAs do is it brings parents together who are enthusiastic about their schools and their kids, and it shows their children that their parents are interested in their education Absolutely. And their schools.
Absolutely. Okay, with all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Motion carries. Oh, let me send a long one. 6M, first reading and review of board policies. The board is being asked to receive the following board policies for first reading and to review to bring the policies within legal compliance due to recently updated legislative changes. This is the one you'll recall was amended when we approved the agenda to add some more. So I guess I have to read all these. Oh, these are on here also? Oh, okay. Okay, so let me read these. You can follow along. I'll read the numbers.
That's fine.
Let me just read the numbers. BP0410, BP1250, BP1312.1, BP1312.3, BP4033, BP5111, BP5111.1, BP5125, BP5131.2, BP5141, BP5141.52, BP5145.13, BP5145.3, BP5145.7, BP5145.9, BP5146, BP6020, BP6142.7, BP6145, BP6145.2, and BP6145.5. Any questions or discussions on any of these policies?
This is first reading, right?
First reading.
No.
Okay. Pupil personnel. Next, we'll move to pupil personnel. Items.
I'm sorry. On this last one, then, Dr. Mitchell, will we need to adopt these at the next meeting?
Yes, that's correct. All of these need to be revised and amended to fit into new legal parameters prior to our federal program monitoring, which is coming in April. And so they will be before the board in February for approval.
So if something comes up between now and February, we should contact you so you're aware of it?
If you have an interest in making an adjustment to any of these policies, yes, you are welcome to contact me.
And if anybody wants to review these policies, where would they be able to obtain them?
They'll all be attached to the agenda.
Okay, but I'm thinking in the audience, if somebody wants to see them.
So they're all attached to the agenda for the public to be able to see online.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And should anyone choose to have a paper copy, they can request one. We'd be happy to provide them.
Okay. That's it. Okay. Item 7, pupil personnel. Next, we move to pupil personnel. Item 7A, RUSD student numbers 19-20-04, stipulated expulsion. Do I have a motion and a second to approve stipulated expulsion of student number 19-20-04 from all schools and programs of Roland Unified School District, effective January 24th, 2020, with a referral to a county or alternative school outside of the district for placement in an educational program?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. 7B, RUSD student 19-20-05, stipulated expulsion. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the stipulated expulsion of student number 19-20-05 from all schools and programs of Roland Unified School District, effective January 24th, 2020, with a referral to a county or alternative school outside of the district for placement in an educational program?
I'll move.
Second.
Are there any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. We now move on to the next section of our agenda, the consent calendar. We will approve all the items in the consent with the exception of any items that were pulled for separate discussion and action, and there were none that were pulled. So can I have a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar?
I'll move.
Second.
All those in favor? Or any discussion or questions?
Oh, no, no discussion.
No discussion. Thank you.
I do the same thing. So I'm really happy you did that. I'm sorry, because you're so used to saying it.
That's my mentor over there. I learned everything from watching her. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Consent calendar is approved. Now we come to the last part of the agenda, which is board member comments. We are now on the conference section of the board members' comments. We'll start with Mr. Chen.
Okay. I like the Roland Elementary School presentation today. And one thing I'd like to point out special is they have about 14, 16 kids here. Rather than like other schools has all only two or three kids. I think a lot of kids, they have more kids have opportunity to speak at the board meeting at the very experience, very good experience for the kids. I like that. And I have an announcement, and I'd like to say Happy New Year, both Julian calendar year and Lunar calendar year. This year, the Lunar calendar year, New Year, is the 2 days away on January 25th, which is our showcase day. This is going to be, it also has a first Chinese-American community in Roland Heights have a big celebration on February 1st at the Roland Heights Community Center. And other performers and important groups from China to perform. And that will be a very good event, and it's open to public and free admission. Everyone can go, so invite your friends to attend, and it starts at 6:30 February 1st. But the tickets are required, so if you're interested to attend, and just go online, www.rhca.org, and to get the tickets, or contact me, myself, to get the tickets. Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you. First, I wanted to thank the West Covina Chinese Association for the award they gave us at their city council meeting on Tuesday night. They awarded us $3,000 that will go towards a Shop Local program for an after-school program in the West Covina area. And Dr. Mitchell has put the money that she got last year to good work with an after-school music program. Tony Wu was really interested in the arts when he first started this, but we were interested in STEM and, you know, that type of thing at first. But there was a need at Giano for a mariachi program, so we started that last year, and I think we're going to continue it this year. They're trying to grow the program. It's very small. Yesterday, I attended the Shaolin Chinese New Year program. All these little kids, well, from little to sixth grade, they were in costumes. They had handmade dragons, every kind you could imagine. It was really a fun day, and the kids really enjoyed it. So thank you to Shaolin School. I look forward to the grand opening of the Performing Arts Center at Roland High School on the 31st. And I apologize, I'll be out of town for the school event, the showcase on Saturday. Thank you to Shay Lohman for meeting with me this week. We had a nice talk and discussed some good things about what's coming up and tried to come to a little bit of a meeting of the minds. As I visit campuses, and after getting a letter from one of the substitute teachers a while back, I had a concern about our students and they're not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance at the schools, and I talked to Dr. Mitchell about that. I think it's all our jobs to help children to love their country no matter what, and it starts with school every day at the beginning. the first day, Miss Friedman and I were at one of the schools, and the teacher said, okay, class, stand for the pledge. And she stood there with her checkboard doing her work. I think three kids stood up and said the pledge, and that was it. So we went last week, and the principal has got a good program. They play Revelry so they know it's coming, and then there's an announcement, and the teacher gets all the students stood up, said the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, those who didn't want to say it didn't have to say it, but it's just a matter of trying to bring that sentiment back to help kids love our country. And Dr. Mitchell, I'd like to follow up that we go see what's happening in all the schools. I know some do the pledge around the flagpole in the morning, and that's terrific, the whole school. I think Telesis might do that. They used to anyway. But I'd just like you to follow up with your principals and ask them to maybe give the board some feedback as to how it's working in their schools. That's something we can ask staff to do. Mr. Malcolm, I want to wish you the best this year as our board president.
I need it.
You're in the fire now. So congratulations to you. When I'm out in the I'll make this last one really quick. I'm out in the community a lot. And never a week goes by when somebody, whether they have kids, probably most of them don't have kids in the school, they say, you know, you hear so much on the news about these kids, how they're acting, they're in trouble, and, you know, all kinds of things are going on. And what do you do, and what are you doing in the school? I have to say that the PBIS, the behavior program that a lot of the elementary schools up through high school have taken on, has really given the kids a good positive outlook for behavior, how they should act, how they should be with their friends. And it starts from the time they're tiny. And if we don't start then, if we try to start in high school, it's a little late. So I'm pleased with that program and what I've seen so far. Thank you.
Ms. Bright?
My turn. Okay, mine's going to be really short, sweet, and to the point. First of all, Roland L. loved the presentation. I loved being able to have an outburst during a board meeting and yell, boom. I think I might just take that up and do it every meeting now. And then, of course, I had to love the pride chair. I mean, who wouldn't love them yelling out pride over and over and over again? It's been, you know, I really enjoyed that part. And I don't know if I said Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I haven't been to anything since we've been back from break because, like you guys, I actually took some extended time off from work this year. And, yeah, thank you. tried to disconnect for a while. But one thing I do want to clarify, and this will be my last thing on the CVRA, just so that people don't try to change up what I said as we were talking about the CVRA. My whole point is that I don't want a board member to be selected to be on our board, to be voted in, to be on our board because of their ethnicity. And I don't want to see somebody elected to our board just because of where they live. I want people on our board who care about our children, number one, who care about our district and you know, our future, because these kids are our future. That's my whole point, is that I want to see people run for the right reasons. I don't want them to run just because, oh, I live over here and, you know, people are telling me to go ahead and run and they know nothing about education or nothing about our schools or never been involved in anything. Those are not the right people for our board. I want to see people who have a genuine interest in making a difference in our schools and in our communities. Those are the people I want to see run for elected positions on our board and hopefully win. I don't care where you live as long as you're in our district, and I don't care what your race is as long as you love our kids. So I just want to make that very clear so we don't have any misunderstandings. And then finally, Martin Luther King holiday just passed. And as I do every year at this time, I always try to find one of his quotes that I feel is appropriate for the moment. And my quote from Martin Luther King today is, "One day we will learn that the heart can never be totally right when the head is totally wrong." So with that, I wish you guys a great month.
Ms. Friedman?
Good evening. Thank you for staying for the entire board meeting, and welcome back, and a late Happy New Year. I really enjoyed the Roland Elementary presentation. It was really cute. Places I've been since our last board meeting, Blandford Elementary had two Student of the Month assemblies, and Oswald had a 7th and 8th grade PBIS celebration. So I thought, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch them give certificates. No. What it was is they got to go in their activity room, and then they got to play all these different kind of games that I never saw before. They were all engaged. Of course, the principal was playing with them also, and they were, like, so excited for being so good for PBIS, because at first they thought, oh, it's not going to be anything, and now all the school's like, oh, we better behave and do everything for PBIS so we could go. I also went to the Alvarado Winter Concert 2019. They had the Alvarado Chorus, Alvarado Orchestra, and Alvarado Advanced Band performed. They were great. Telesis Academy had a holiday performance and a reading celebration where they received books from a grant. Roramore Elementary had a winter performance and writing display, and Hurley Elementary holiday show. I did my one of my favorite things is visiting schools, and went to several. And I witnessed excellent teaching and learning in the classrooms. Some classrooms, it was so interesting, I didn't want to leave. And then at STARS, I saw them using this unique learning system, which was great. And at Roland High School, I got to see the Performing Arts Center, which, like, it's going to be great, the grand opening next week. And at RACE, the advanced ESL class, Mike Tincov went with me, and she was talking about PhD, and he goes, I'm one. And so she said, oh, would you do a few words, say a few words? So he got to do a speech about how he got his PhD, and the adults were staring at him, and they were going, oh, wow. It was very interesting. That happened today. And then West Covina City Council meeting was really special. $3,000 was given to Roland Unified for after-school use. This was given by the West Covina Chinese American Association. And congratulations to Blandford Elementary, Killian Elementary, and Ibarra Academy for becoming California Distinguished Schools. And thank you, Alex, and your team. A way to go for having no audit findings in our audit. And we appreciate all your hard work for making this possible. And David, you're doing a fantastic job. Thank you.
I guess I go last now. You know, with Roland Elementary and their presentation, the Hello program, I love that. You know, I just wish that we could do that in every one of our schools, all the way through high school, that if a student's sitting alone and somebody walks up and just says hello and makes a new friend, like that one student said, he made some new friends. But it's more important that that one student's not sitting alone anymore. And there's so much need out there in the schools, you know, for counselors and for kids that are having difficulty at home because of problems at home. And that one little hello can change the whole day for that student. So I really wanted to let Mr. Martinez know what a fantastic program that is. Tonight we made a very important vote that would define how we elect future school board members. I want to thank Dr. Mitchell and Gina Ward for all their hard work these past couple of months to meet with our RUSD community and families to gain their input to make so that we can make an informed decision. I mean, the time crunch you guys had to do that was unbelievable. I want to make it clear that each board member, regardless of what district they're elected by, that they still represent the entire district. And I look forward to a new way of electing school boards now in November. I want to congratulate the following schools for being recognized as 2020 California Distinguished Schools. Killian has now been added to the ranks, Killian Elementary. They're recognized for its instructional focus and commitment to literacy by implementing Reader's Workshop. And then Blandford Elementary was recognized as a 2020 California Distinguished School awardee for its focus on utilizing cognitively, and guided instruction, CQI, in mathematics. And Yabara Academy of Arts and Technology was recognized for its International Baccalaureate IB program in transitional kindergarten through sixth grade. So those three join our other schools that have been already recognized as distinguished schools. Are we going to go out and do a ceremony at each one of those schools? Oh, a surprise. Yes. Okay, I won't ask. I won't ask that question then. If it leaks, we know who leaked it right out there. So.
No, yet we will be recognized.
Okay. Yes. I want to encourage everybody to attend the showcase on Saturday. And then also want to state what the other people said about Tuesday night at West Covina, getting the grant from the Asian American Association of West Covina. And also, Mayor Wu really has revitalized the program, which is shop small in the community. And that's something that our chamber does through American Express, where we encourage people to go to the small shop owners, you know, if they can, to shop small, because those are the backbone of our communities. So I respect Mayor Wu for also revitalizing that program. And I want to thank Mr. Lohman for meeting with me today. Thank you very much. Thank you for the bagel. I want to be public about that. He bought me off with a bagel. But all I can say is what a difference 60 days make. Very proud of the teachers tonight. And that's all I have. Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Is there a second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The meeting will be adjourned at 8:09.